What's your robot sound?
Beep boop beep 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 boop beep boop.
Isn't that stereotype for robots?
Is that a heavy robot accent?
Yeah, it's a heavy robot.
It's offensive. Is it offensive to robots?
Maybe a robot doesn't want to sound like that, right? Maybe they sound
Could. Maybe it's offensive to robots.
I know,
yeah. Right? When they gain consciousness, they're gonna come cancel us for it.
Were you married to a robot if the robot is like super model, you know?
No.
Victoria's Secret models, sexy robots will say everything yes to you, every kind of kinky shit you want to do. And then she'll be like, yes, sir.
I would not.
Yes, daddy. Like,
I won't even marry. I mean, I love Nicole. Me and Nicole have completely in love, you know.
Yeah.
And I won't even marry her, I mean, let alone a robot.
Yeah. But like, I'm trying to say is like, what if, okay, how about this? Then will you be a boyfriend to a robot?
No, it's a robot. It's an inanimate thing. You can't be that to something that isn't alive, right?
What if it's got like a really, really good thing? You know, like they got like, you know, adaptive temperature system. When you cuddle her, she will just vibrates your temperature. And then when you heat up, and then she cools down. When she gets too cold, and she heals up. Mm-hmm.
I think it's, no matter how good the technology will be, just knowing mm-hmm. that it's fake would bother me.
But essentially, here's the thing AI people will argue. Essentially, human brain is mother nature robot.
I guess, yeah. And I mean, what does that mean? Explain a little bit more.
Because, like, all the AI is all, like, different connection through different data system, right? So, your brain is also connected with cells and neural system mm-hmm. connect to each other, which each cell also contains different data. So, you remember things, so you function.
So, what if it's the other way around? What if, because we make robots, it's an inspiration of us, you know what I mean? How come you can't make robots differently than you know how the human brain is wired?
Cool question. Let's reach out to AI big person.
Yeah, let's reach out to nerds. To these nerds.
Okay, hello everybody. Welcome to the another episode of Sunny Podcast. We officially a year-ish now, so thank you for keep coming back listening to this podcast.
How many people do you think listens to all of them?
Probably 20.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, okay, not bad. 20's not bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So stick around, you guys are the awesome people.
Okay, I didn't mean to cut you off there. I was just wondering.
Yeah. Anyway, and then here with me, who just cutting me off, that's me, Ralph Nye. His edible is melting in a bag, and he refused to eat the candy bag like eating vagina.
Yeah, I could buy more. It's cheap. I don't have to. I can get a spoon. I wonder if anybody ate. You know, ate a girl out with a real spoon. Like, I'm technically, you're eating her out, but with a spoon.
With spoon?
I know.
Why?
It just says, it's gross. I don't even know why I brought it up. That's a bad joke.
With spoon? I mean, I tried ice cream. And it's...
Okay. Where are you going?
So like it's like I remember me and my ex, and then we try to put ice cream on each other's body and try to lick it off, trying to, you know, spice things up. But it's just really cold. It's not as romantic.
Yeah,
as
that's hilarious. Yeah, the movies make it seem like it's so cool, but it's actually sticky. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's like a bash it.
Like, who would want to have sex when, like, your body is sticking together. And it's not like a sweat stick, because that's already nasty, but it's like a dried soda stick.
Because it's funny, because like, oh, it's supposed to, you know, like, put on a little scoop of the ice cream on top of you, like a boost. And then it's just like a melt it, and then it's just like, I want to lick it off. And it's, that's where this, like, fantasy coming from, right?
Yeah.
But then when you actually put the ice cream on your body, all you can think about is like a fucking cold, leave me alone.
That's hilarious. Yeah, so the movies make it seem pretty cool. You put sprinkles on there too if you want. It'll be a mess to clean.
So I think in movie, I think they use like butter or
butter's worse. It'll be warm. You're right.
You know, so like it doesn't look, it still look melting looking.
Yeah.
But it doesn't cold to the actor or the actress.
Yeah.
So that's kind of.
How do we even get there? Huh? How do we even start talking about this?
Because you bought a candy of like edible.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Refused to eat it like the JJ.
We go everywhere with our podcast, don't we? Like do we ever stick to one topic?
Well, we did before. So you have two shows coming up this weekend.
Oh no, I did them already
in Portland.
I did it.
Oh, you did it already?
Yeah. I did two shows this week. Man, it felt so good, Eddie, you don't understand it.
I guess. Last time I checked, I still tell jokes.
Yeah, I did two shows. Man, I was eating shit on my joke for like until the week prior. And I was like, damn, I've been working on this joke for this whole fucking time, for this fucking show. And it doesn't look like it's working. But I managed to sharpen it up before the show. But it was good. It was a sold out show. Well, the first show was like a Father's Day show. I did it with all these fathers. Mm-hmm. And that was cool. And then the second show was Minority Retort.
Oh, I heard that show sold out.
Yeah, it was sold out.
Great job, Jason.
Yeah, Jason did a great job. He's a producer. Shout out to Jason if he's listening. He asked about you. Yeah.
Thanks.
He said, "Where's Eddie?" He said, "Where's Eddie?" I said, "Wait, I am Eddie." He was like, "Hey, you guys." He asked about this podcast. Actually, he was like, "Hey, you guys still do the podcast?" Yeah, I said, "Yeah, it's cool, man." You know, Eddie's over there bullshitting in Taiwan, and I'm just trying to stay alive in America. It's pretty cool.
Yeah,
and
that's very, very nice of him. I love Jason.
Yeah, Jason's dope. But yeah, like,
so I guess free advertisement here. Go on Minority Retort.
Oh yeah, he also has a podcast. He has some very interesting people on his podcast. I listened to a few episodes.
Funny podcast.
So check him out.
Jason's a good guy.
Yeah, Minority Retort. I had to look up what retort meant. But man, it was, I want to say that might have been the best show I've had. Maybe because I missed it and I haven't done it so long, but I felt like that might have been the best set I've had.
Did you sign up for PFP this year?
No, I didn't.
You don't feel like it?
Well, I mean, I wasn't aware that it was happening. I just came, like, you know, I started back up again, and then people are like, oh, PFP this. And I'm like, oh, yeah, it is PFP. I forgot.
I feel like it was like PFP this year doesn't really feel, I don't think it's gonna feel like it's PFP. I just, maybe just me, because it's like weird.
I don't even really take it seriously, honestly. Like, I mean, I think it's a cool event. I think people shouldn't be so caught up in like competing against each other. You know what I mean?
Yes and no. Agree to disagree.
Okay, let me explain my part and you can explain what you think.
Okay.
But, you know, I see young comics get caught up in, like, not making it to the next round or not doing as good as they want to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, and to me, it's just like, if you do it, to get the experience and just to get better, I think that's good enough, you know. But
coming from an education system, yes, I think that's the good perspective.
Well, because hey, look, if you're a new comic and you think that you're going to win the whole thing, you're probably going to be upset that you get knocked out the first round.
True.
Yeah. True. And a lot of times it's like you either got to be really funny or you have to know a lot of people. One of the two.
Which is the thing you need to do as a comic, isn't it? Because, like, you know, Bill Cosby, this guy, yeah, said, which is, no, it's a horrible person, should not, you know, just, but this is something good from him to say. He said, hey, a good comic tells funny jokes, and a good comic sells tickets.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I guess the
do ticket, your job.
I think the
sell tickets. So
yeah,
you know.
But I think the thing for me too is like, okay, they're gonna vote for you no matter what. Your family's gonna vote for you no matter what. And if you bring,
So isn't like the thing about it is like the second vote is the most important one, right? So like you get everybody vote their family.
How many
vote
votes?
Friends.
How many people in that room? I think it's like what.
100-ish?
Really? No,
right?
I think it's more.
No. 130. I mean, Helium can host 250 people at the max.
Oh, really? Damn, I thought it was like...
Yeah. So when it's like super crowded, you know, like when Mark Norman's show is definitely sold out to like 250. Because he was nowhere to walk around in the show. Mm-hmm. So I remember the PFP final is also like that.
Oh,
just
really?
Like very crowded. Yeah.
Ooh, that's a good opportunity, man, to get a crowd.
Yeah, 250. But the thing is, like, I feel the reality is, like, the world is in competition, no matter what. And so, I agree with, like, you should... I mean, I agree that our phone should not ever be compete with each other. Mm-hmm. But the show spot is limited. So how do we get there? It's by competition. It's not like, you know, hipsters, they will do like, oh, we just take turns. It's democracy.
are you calling me hipster?
what you just say is very hipster. You know?
It probably is. But I'm just saying, like, if it's a real competition, that's not how you, like, it's not always true. I feel like I sound like a sore loser. Yeah, I never won Portland's Funniest. But,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you'll get people who only come out for the show, right? And then they bring their whole family, yeah, like 50 people. And then you bring somebody who, you know, been at open mics, he's doing it all the time, and, you know, it's really funny,
yeah,
but get bumped off because that guy has more people that he brought.
Which is true, and I guess, I don't know. I mean, yes, the system was, like, not that great.
But I think,
like, you know.
Let me say, too, like.
First round should have already judged.
Yeah, I will say if you're.
More sense.
I will say if you're, like, if you're funny, you'll go on to the second round. It doesn't matter who you know. You know what I mean? Like, if you're funny, you'll go on to the second round. Like, you always know who goes to the second round. It's usually the comedians who've been doing it for a long time.
Yeah. Except me, because when I was there first time I did PFP, I made it to the second.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, killed it. No, you had a good set. I was in the crowd. I was going. I was like, yeah, man, that's my brother, man. He's my brother. That's my brother.
I made my family proud. Oh my god!
You bring honor to your family.
I'm the Mulan of the house.
That's funny. But nah, man, I had a good time at the show. It was fun. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It just feels good again, man. Just a kill. I think I had a really good set, and just to know them jokes are working. Really, like, it was for me, I was like, oh, fuck, I don't know if these jokes are going to work. Because, you know, you go to open mics and they're just comedians.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Struggle till the end.
And then you don't really know if certain things work because comedians, I mean, we don't really pay attention to each other's sets.
I remember, like, I don't know. I feel like every week we did this. Every week we do this podcast, and then seeing you guys, and then seeing Portland comedians or my friends in different cities doing stand up, just reminds me, like, dude, you gotta make more money so that way, when everything lifted, you can just fly to United States and just do some stand up and burn all the money and then come back to Taiwan making a lot of money. So, like,
yeah, I think
if you're listening to this podcast and then you need some 3D works, please contact me. I do 3D stuff.
Yeah, I had
just advising for myself. Yeah,
there was like a heckler in the front row too of the show. She was heckling everybody set.
Heckler?
Ooh. Yeah, it was fun. Adam Posse was finally the one who was just like, hey, shut up, man. We got this. We got this. It's always funny how you deal with hecklers, right?
Yeah.
Like, how do you deal with them?
Depends on what kind of heckler. Like, if it's constantly heckling, then I will ignore them. Because what they want is attention.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, constantly heckling. But if it's like a oopsie, he/she is just like react too much that they couldn't help to say something, then I will speak back. I will engage with them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. You got any stories?
One time I did a show in Seattle. I did a Don't Tell. And then in the end of that set, I said, you know, I was like, Rice Queen, Potato Queen, you know, the joke that I told, right? So, like, oh, why do only five Asian do is Rice Queen. And then Asian do who only fuck, why do is Potato Queen.
Right.
And then Asian do who only fuck Asian do. And I haven't delivered my punchline. Mm-hmm. And there is one guy who is Asian in the crowd. Shout out, Sticky Rice.
Yeah.
So he did my punchline for me.
What'd you say to him?
And everybody laughed at him instead of me. So I need to bring that back.
Yeah.
So I said, that's right. And also, I'm single. And I just straight out look at him. And then whole crowd just eat it. Just like, wow. Just bring that back. And then I ended there. So,
oh, you brought him back.
I think
with
I
you.
Was like a quick response. That's really quick response to that joke.
Yeah.
Because I am single, that means, you know, you get the point.
Yeah. So
like, yeah. And people like that. People,
that's good. That's a good rebound. That's a good pivot.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think there was one when I was, I think I was doing the show. I think it was a show in Wells, you know, the one that Hijinks books?
Vultures.
Vultures, yeah. And so there was this two couple sitting in the front row. Not two couple, a couple sitting in the front row. And they just kept talking. They kept talking to each other. They're having a conversation.
Oh, they treat you like you are the musicians.
Yeah, and it's not like... Yeah. It wasn't like an open mic. It was a show. Like, everybody in the place came to see a show.
Okay.
Yeah. And so, like, the first, she was doing it for the first two comics. And I was, like, watching. And I was just, you know, because, you know, you want to see if they already been talked to. Mm-hmm. Right? So, if you be an asshole or not. And then one person tried to do crowd work with them. It didn't work. And they just kept talking. And so... half in the middle of my set, I just said, fuck it, let's talk. I was like, you guys want the spotlight?
So you join the conversation with them?
Yeah. Because if my jokes wasn't landing, because they were so distracting. Like, no one was, everybody was kind of like laughing at my joke, but looking at them.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Okay. Kind of deal. And so I was just like halfway through my set, I was like, you know what? Fuck it. Let's talk. And I was just like, you guys want the spotlight? Okay, what's your name? And, you know, they told me your name. I was like, you got the couple. And then just trying to find something I could, like, be an asshole about.
So I think in that situation, I would do if
yeah,
I would just do it right away. Like, I would say, so I'm going to ask you a question. You guys going to answer in the same time. And yeah. I'm going to say 1, 2, 3. And then you're going to say something. So I would be like, so 1, 2, 3, when do you guys meet?
Yeah.
And then they're going to probably answer the same thing, right? And then they're going to say, oh, how long you guys been together?
Yeah.
I'm going to say 1, 2, 3. Usually the dudes will give the wrong answer. And then the whole crowd will just be like, oh, boo.
I didn't do that. I went for the jugular. And so I was like, how'd you guys meet? And they're like, oh, we met on vacation. And they look really young. So the girl looked really young and the guy looked really old. And this is when Epstein was in the news. And I was like, but you guys met on Epstein Island. And so I got a good laugh and all the whole crowd
couple.
Yeah, and then he was like, no man, I don't do that. I would never do that. And he goes, what the fuck did he say? He gave me a good setup. It was something about he said something like trying not to be homophobic, but he was kind of homophobic, you know what I mean? I was like, what did he say? He said something like, I'll suck a dick or something before I go to Epstein Island. He said something like that. And then I remember saying something like, wait, how old are these dicks that you're sucking? And you would think that they would stop, right, after that?
No, they won't.
They kept going, man.
Because they thought you are, like, engaged with them.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's the way of...
Yeah.
Well, I guess another thing about comedy that I hated and speak to is to deal with people who talks in a bar or during a show. Mm-hmm. And then just, like, they don't understand. And then, you know, it's a free country. You know, stuff like that. Do you think musicians, like people be quiet or people be, like, talking? Musicians.
They probably like it quiet, but they probably don't mind if they're talking because I guess you have to know where you're at. If you're, like, Beyonce, everybody needs to shut the fuck up.
Oh.
Right? Yeah, everybody shut the fuck up, all right, if Beyonce's up there. But if it's, like, some random-ass person... Yeah, yeah, you can chat a little bit, unless they're, like, super talented. If they're super... It's just like a comedian, right? Like, a comedian comes to the open mic, everybody's talking, and then that comedian is funny. Everybody pays attention to their set. You ever had that happen to you?
Yeah, in Vegas.
Yeah.
It's like that. Fighting against so many distractions in Vegas.
Yeah, but sometimes if you're funny or interesting, everybody will shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
But
so in Vegas was like, oh, have you done like open mic in Vegas?
No,
it was intense.
Yet. Really?
It's super intense.
What do you mean?
Everybody is not listening. Everybody's just playing the fucking machine. And then you're up there and then doing your set. Everybody's like clink, 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 clink,
yeah,
clink,
yeah,
clink,
yeah,
clink.
Yeah,
clink,
I would be distracted.
Beep, 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 beep. And then smoking and cheers to later. And then you're just up there and all of a sudden it feels like you're back in the 40s.
Yeah.
You know, and the underground, some dirty bars, people are smoking, doing their own shit.
Yeah.
And then you're up there telling something that you thought is funny, nobody's listening, and you say a punchline, one person start laughing, and it turns everybody back.
Yeah.
So, like, as long as you get one person laughing really loud, you win. You win.
Yeah.
Because once you've done that, everybody turn their head and then, like, watch you, and then you finally can say something really funny, but then you have 30 seconds left.
Right.
And you have to get out of the stage.
Yeah. That sucks. Dude, I remember that happened when, like, people were playing pool and Jenga when I was closing a show. I did 20 minutes. Like, Eddie, 10 minutes was me trying to tell him to shut the fuck up. Like, stop playing pool and stop playing Jenga.
But the thing is, like, how, you know, like, I guess it's like a musician analogy you just did. So, like, yeah. You are not Jerry Chappelle. So, one day, they're not going to stop for you.
Yeah. It was early, too. It was early in my, like, maybe about 2 years in. I was not ready to do 20 minutes.
I don't know. I just think that it's kind of interesting to me how people like we talk about this way, way, way early in our podcast, in like episode 1 or 2, when we analyze the comedian set. And then do you do 6 laughs per minute?
No, I don't do a formula like that.
Or, you know, like some calculation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'll do like... Yeah. I kind of do it like this, where it's like... an escalation of laughs. Mm-hmm. Right? So, like, my first punchline, I'm hoping to get a good laugh. It doesn't have to be a slap your super knee, kind of like, yeah, good laugh. Yeah, yeah. Right? And then I try to build off the next one to get a better laugh. And then my third punchline would be like the... Yeah. Yeah, or even it doesn't have to be that. It doesn't have to be laugh. It has to be like engaging. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like sometimes I'll put a premise that is not even funny but interesting, and I could deal with that silence because you know I'll be quiet and I'll just listen and see and like, okay, you know the difference between not funny or interested, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and so I'll do that sometimes, but I don't do that. It's not an equation I have.
So the thing is, like, back to the conversation about like a Portland funniest person, I did my first PFP set last year, not 2 years ago, and then I delivered 36 laugh.
Is that good or bad? I don't know.
In 5 minutes, that's 36
laugh. That's pretty good. Like same kind of laugh or a different kind of laugh? Well, all of them probably different.
Different kind of laugh. Yeah, different kind of laugh. There's layers in there.
Yeah. Do you make distinctions when you do your analysis, I guess, of your sets? Do you ever make distinctions on...
I did graphical. I did actually calculate. Like.
Oh, really?
And then 1 minute of 12, they should laugh at...
Oh, wow. Scientific. Very scientific of you.
I did.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. And then, so that's, I guess that's, you know, when people who do comedy that they feel like they don't, and why didn't they enter second round or third round? And then they take it so seriously, and then they got pissed or they got really angry about like, oh, this is unfair, this is that, that. But like, the thing is like, didn't they ask themselves what did they do?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Like, did you get laughed?
I don't like that part. No. That part bothers me when it's just like, dude, don't... Just have fun. Like, don't even expect... Like, you know? Yeah. And you should know your place, right? Like, if you've done comedy a year and a half, 2 years in, probably not going to make it through. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Because you don't... know anything.
Yeah, you're just trying to figure out how to be good. But I've seen that happen where, you know, it turns into contempt for other people. Like, you start to hate other comics because of it. You know?
Because it's insecure. Because that's the insecurity. I think that's insecurity for me. Because, like, I know my joke. I know my one joke can work or not working. Mm. And I'm not going to... You know, I will just let's be real to this joke. It's not funny. That's it.
Right.
Fix it or give it up. Right, that's your choice, right? Or make it better, make it work, and change your pivot, and pivot your set, change your punchline, or two different setup. You know, and all that comes to work, and then all that comes to do you constantly rechewing your set or not. You know, like Mark Norman, his set is, I bet his set is 100% word by word set to different shows.
Really? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it seems like it. He seems like so
you can see that,
rapid, like, fire, fast.
He is very mechanic.
Mm-hmm.
And then war economy, it's very, yeah, very, it's right there. It's and then you know, like, yeah, hate me all you want, but like Louis C.K. is the same. Like,
yeah.
I watched the Louis C.K. thing, and then I also download his subtitles, right? Mm-hmm. So you actually has all his sets written in a document.
Nice.
And if you actually analyze his set, every punchline he did only has, because it's subtitles, so it will has like quote unquote laughter because they are using it for deaf people, right? So they will have this laughter. So you can actually see where is the punchline lands, right?
Yeah.
On the documents. And then so you'll be like, oh my God. So every third sentence has one laughter.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll be like, okay, how many words in those sentences?
Mm-hmm.
It's not more than 20. You know,
yeah.
So like it's a one way, but that's the style I'm going for.
Yeah.
Because right? You can do another style where you just talk a lot, like the Eliza lady. You know,
Eliza.
You know, do you know who she is?
No.
Eliza, easy. A lady. She's on the Netflix. She has her own sketch show.
I don't. I'm not aware.
And she always wears a ponytail, and then she's young. I think she's 35 something. See, you are not paying attention to woman comic, female comic, you bad guy.
I'm not paying attention to any comics, really. I'm just...
She has a bunch of like Netflix special.
Does she?
And then she sometimes really funny.
Wait, let me look this up. What's her name?
Yeah. I think it's Eliza.
Schlesinger? How you say her last name?
See, that's a problem. You cannot even say it.
Singer?
I'm not gonna even.
Schlesinger. I think it's Schlesinger. Eliza?
Yeah.
Eliza, how do you say her first name?
Eliza or Eliza?
She
or
got a harder name to pronounce than my name.
White people name, whatever. She's funny. She's sometimes not funny, but her style is she talks really, really, really fast.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, Patrice O'Neill, you ever listen to his?
Yeah,
he does. He does a lot of that too, where it just seems like he's just talking.
David Chappelle also talks really fast and a lot too.
Yeah, so there's different styles for different people, I guess. I think everybody, you know, has their own
Ronnie
thing.
Chang also talks a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Also, he talks really fast. Mm. So, it just really depends on different people. Yeah. And then when I was doing stand-up in the United States, I had to look at every words I said to make sure that I didn't use the wrong words on the wrong thing.
Isn't it crazy how, like, one word could flip a whole bit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, I don't know. I mean, to me, I feel like all this extra homework I had to do when I was in States made me, like, stand out.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's the reason why I got things.
Yeah, you're a funny comic. You're a funny guy, man.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you. All I want is you say that.
That's funny. But yeah, I had a good time. You know, it's so crazy. After the show, across the street, they had a shooting.
Wow, that's new.
Yeah,
that's
everybody's like running and shit. You know, you remember coming to Portland and like in downtown Chinatown, they cut off all the streets so you could walk to the different bars.
Yeah.
So they're starting to do that again. And this club right across the Siren Theater was getting, people started running out the club and we heard gunshots. So I assumed there was a shooting.
I guess... That's something I don't miss about United States. The gun problem.
Yeah.
Do you have a gun?
I hope everybody. I don't.
Would you?
I actually. No, I got my nunchucks.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
Yeah, I got two of them, so.
Yeah.
Okay, Eddie, imagine this. If you broke into someone's house And he pulled out a nunchuck, and he knows what he's doing. Are you gonna rob that house?
I don't know, man. I'll be scared, man. But the thing is, your nunchuck looks really funny. So like,
like two dildos.
Yeah, your nunchuck looks like two dildos.
So what if the robbers are like, ooh, this guy's freaky.
The robber will be like, I'm so ready. That's fine. Huh? Where? on your bed.
He's trying to fuck.
On his couch.
He's like, ooh, he wanted ick. That'd be funny. Then I beat his ass with the two dildos.
Ooh.
Pew, pew. I beat his ass. Sound gay too. I beat his ass. Oh man,
I think that would be a really, really funny sketch where like a robber enters a house and then the house is full of dildos, and then a robber happens to be
I will get out. I'll automatically get out of the house.
Yeah, the robber happened to be a homophobic.
Yeah.
And then he's just like, oh my God, where did I enter? And then the security assistant alarms up and then locks him inside of the dildo room.
He's going for a ride.
Wouldn't it be really funny? And then you just look at this guy and just like slammed by the dildo, and then the house started, and then earthquake happened. So then all the dildo started just shaking.
No, I don't have a gun. I do have nunchucks. So if you're listening, beware.
Get ready, my head.
Yeah, get ready. It's right underneath my pillow.
Would you consider getting a gun before? Have you thought about that?
No, I haven't thought about it. I don't think I will. I don't want to live that life. I'm not about that life. I feel like I mean, I don't want to pass judgment on people who do have guns, because, you know, I don't have a problem with responsible people having guns.
It's the right way of saying it. Responsible people having guns.
Yeah.
How do you know that? My student even not even turning their homework. Are they responsible or irresponsible?
Younger people are less likely to be responsible. Just say that. But... yeah, I'm good. Hopefully I don't have stuff that people are willing to kill me to take.
You have this like a Bruce Lee poster in the back of your room. That's...
oh, yeah. Yeah, they come in this room. They know what it's about. They know I see movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, they know that I tried a few of these moves and, you know. Let me see. I'm trying to see if I think I could beat up a robber if they came to my house. I think so. It depends. If there's one, I think I could take on one. If I had to, right? I know my house. He doesn't know my house.
Yeah, you just cut off the lights and it just you know, really being... And then think like... But I think when they enter your house, they'll be like, damn, this house is way too clean. I don't know where to put things. And where is
gotta take my shoes off.
Where all this like a fish sauce smells coming from? Man, I know, I'm hungry.
Definitely feel like they'll see some fish sauce around. We use a lot of fish sauce in this household.
Yeah. Every time I enter Southeast Asian's household, I always smells like fish sauce. It's just kind of a fact.
Oh, all the Southeast Asians gonna get you now. That's how you know. That's how you know something good is about to go down. It's a fried garlic. That's how you know. Like every time
there's a crazy story. Speak of this like nunchuck and shit. I live in like Martin Luther King. When I first moved to Portland. And then the second week I'm moving, and then I was just like chillaxing in my home, playing computer games or whatever, just doing some stuff. And then I started her running around from upstairs, like boom, 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 running around. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, oh, upstairs, neighbor. Okay, still early, whatever. And I started hear shouting and then crying and stuff. And then the door is like, boom, closed. And then you started to hear like this person is knocking on everybody's door on the third floor. I live on the second floor. And it just, because it's really loud, you can hear it. And then everybody's like, close their door. And then he started to shouting really loud and run down to the second floor. And then it's just like, he also punched my door. And I was like, ooh, what should I do? What should I do? Oh, like, what if the door doesn't hold? What should I do? So I immediately turn off the lights, just pretending no one's at home. And I go to the kitchen holding a knife and just like, all right, I'm ready. Let's just, if whoever like opens the door, I'm just going to stab you. Just like, yeah,
you're going to get it.
Yeah.
You're going to get it.
And then I started to hear some other heroes or sheroes, whatever, you know.
Yeah.
And open the door and then say, shut the fuck up. And then close the door right away.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you just hear the person, because I can see through the door thingy that you can see.
The door hole, yeah.
The door hole, yeah. And then there's this one guy, he's like dressing up crazy, and then he was bleeding everywhere. And then just running around the second floor, the hallway. And then finally somebody called police. And then so police came, get this guy, put it on an emergency car and send it to hospital somewhere. And then when I opened the door to see, and then the hallway was a mess. It was like a blood everywhere. And I was like, man, America's crazy. Yeah. And that's the second week I move into this new building. I'm like, did I make a wrong choice moving here? No wonder the price is low. Jesus.
That's hilarious. See, if you had some nunchucks, you would have felt more safe, wouldn't you?
Definitely. Definitely. Because, you know, I actually had dildo at the time. So it was not working for sure.
That would be so funny. What about you? Did you want to ever get a gun? Are you prepared? No. Are you about that life?
No, I don't think I will ever own a gun in my life. I think the whole idea of having a gun is very strange to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what do you want to get from that? You know?
Yeah.
Because like, you want it to defend, yeah, but like, are you trained to defend yourself? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And
yeah.
Yeah, and also I think America has this like a weird apocalypse mindset in their brain. So like I don't know.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I don't ever want to live a life where I feel like I have to carry a gun to places. I just won't go to places like that.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Do you know anybody who likes guns?
Who? I think a couple of my friends. They buy guns.
Oh.
Also,
I think guns too masculine for me. Like, whoever owns a gun, what? Too masculine.
Oh, too masculine?
Yeah.
Like I know girls who own guns too.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
that's
true. Is that to me, like, go ahead. I mean, just, you know, just be responsible. And plus, I just like, I don't know, man. I just don't like the idea. For me, at least, I just don't like the idea that I could be in a situation where it has to escalate, where I have to take somebody's life. You know what I mean?
Okay. That's a phrase of saying, like, I can kill you even though I don't have any training. I can still kill you.
No, I mean, like, okay, here's for example. Like, let's say you go to a comedy show.
Yes.
And you have a gun on you. I just wouldn't go to the comedy show. I wouldn't go to places with a large group of people. with a gun, you know what I mean?
Definitely, definitely. But the thing is, like, not everybody thinks like that, for one. And two, right. a lot of, like, random shooting happening someplace where it doesn't, you know, I don't understand why people want to shoot place like that. I don't understand
like yesterday,
any
like,
place to
like
get
like what happened yesterday. There's a shooting at the club yesterday.
Yeah.
Right? So my whole thing is, if you feel like you need to bring a gun to a social event like a club, you shouldn't go.
Oh, because you feel like you don't feel safe, so you don't want to bring a gun to. Okay.
Like, to me, it's just like there has to be social agreements with guns, right? Like, you just don't bring it to crowded places.
But then that comes to a question, where do you need to bring a gun? Nowhere you need to bring a gun, unless you're hunting.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's certain situations where I think, you know, yeah, like hunting, probably one of them. If you're a girl walking alone on the streets, because, you know, like, I think they...
No, I don't think so. Because, like, why does woman needs to be like that?
Because you don't think, like, they're more at risk for predators to come after them? You know what I mean? Like, I hear stories from my girlfriend all the time about people following her into the parking lot. And if it's not for her, like, running to her car or something, that, you know, a guy doesn't come and, I don't know, whatever. I don't know what the fuck to do, right? Mm. But I think for women, there's more of a risk of that than there is to men.
Yeah, I guess, yeah, because men are ugly.
Well, I'm just saying, I've never had to think about walking alone in a parking lot, that being a threat to me. To me, I'm just walking alone in a parking lot.
That's actually right. I got attacked a couple of times when I was in States. And it's by hobos. No, not in the parking lot. I don't own a car, so sorry. I don't. Not that. But it does sometimes does get a little bit creepy and scary, you know, alone by yourself in United States.
Yeah.
That's actually
so I think
a true
those
statement.
Situations, I think that's cool, but if you're going to a party, dude, chill out. You know what I mean? It feels like everybody's trying to, you're killing the vibe. Everybody's trying to be cool, man. Everybody's just trying to have fun. We're not trying to
bring
like violence.
If you go to a party and then afterwards you walk to your car, and do you bring a gun to the party first?
But I don't think that's how most shootings happen at social events like that. I think at the shooting last night, it happened in the club. Probably two guys, a guy stepped on another guy's shoe and didn't apologize.
Oh,
like stuff like that happens.
Okay. Well, that happened in Taiwan too. You know, it's kind of funny where like people just disagree on certain things and it starts fights.
You know, you put alcohol in there and then you put your ego because you don't want to be embarrassed in front of people.
Yeah.
And so... Yeah, that's not a good mix.
Okay.
So I'm saying like, I think, you know, in those situations, you just shouldn't have a gun. Everybody should be like, no guns, we're good. And I can't believe we have to tell people that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and also like I can't believe that sometimes you enter a certain place, you need to pass to metal detector to like making sure you are a safe person to this building or to this pub or club, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, like, the whole... what's the always, like, gun people argue about? Second Amendment?
Second Amendment, the right to bear arms. It's pretty... It's interesting because it's, like, it's so... It's not cut and dry. It's not really cut and dry, so it could be interpreted different ways. Like, I think in part, it's like there's two clauses in there. I don't know word for word, but let's see. Let's look it up. Second Amendment. Because we are two stupid Asians.
Mm-hmm.
Why would we know your Constitution's amendments?
Your constitution.
Okay. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. And I think that part, the first part, a well-regulated militia. Like, what's a militia?
I don't even know what you're talking about, but militia sounds like a girl next door.
No, it's like an army. Isn't that another word for army? But there's like, it's not like enough. Like, here it is. A military force that is raised from civil population to supplement a regular army in an emergency. So it's like a gang made by citizens.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And so they're thinking like the people who are for guns are like, that's for, you know, that means us regular people.
Mm.
And then I think the people who are against it are like, no, that's for the military.
Got it.
Yeah. And so there's that argument. And then there's like, there's a whole bunch of shit in there. I remember listening to
a
radio lab about it.
If it's like a true freedom, you should be able to have gun. So I think under that situation, I am like all about, I support true freedom about, hey, you want to have a gun? You can have a gun. You don't want to have a gun? You don't have to. You know, that's a true freedom. Right. So under that, I would say yes. Like, yeah, you do whatever you want. You know, that's a true freedom to me. But then also you need to deal with like, once you're having a gun, what comes with it?
Mm-hmm.
So then you take responsibility for that. You know, that's like a freedom of speech. You say stuff. You can say whatever you want. You say stuff. People say stuff. And, you know, N word, R word, whatever word, C word, F word, whatever you wanted to say, you have true freedom to say it or not. But then what comes with it, it's your responsibility as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I think that's kind of what it is.
I think for me, it's like, I think you're right. I think, you know, the ability to do whatever you want to do. I mean, I think that's cool, but also like, we gotta be considerate.
Yeah, and just knowing your own boundaries, you know, like knowing your boundaries, where is your boundaries.
And careful. We gotta be careful too. Like, I don't understand why we can't make more regulation. You know what I mean? Like, and you know, maybe I haven't read in about this and I don't know, maybe I'm just stupid about it, but it seems like it's really easy to get a gun.
It is really easy to get a gun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So
I remember like a couple of years ago, there was one Taiwanese young guy, and I think he made a Twitter about it, said that he's going to shoot school. He was also like a kid from a celebrity, and then he wanted to buy a gun too. He actually owns a certain, I don't think he owns a gun. I think he owns modified toy guns or something. So it's like something still weapon, but it's not from like a gun factory gun, something like that, whatever. The thing is like he was like saying he's going to shoot school. And then he is not even American citizen. And he has the ability to access guns. And that to me is crazy. And it's like, oh my God, America is really, really... Like, for example, if you go, you have a license, right? And then you go to gun stores to buy some guns. And just say, hey, Eddie, want some gun? I buy one for you. And then you just give it to me. And then, you know, that's just so easy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it just seems... I don't know.
Walmart sells guns. There's a certain states you can buy guns in Walmart.
In Walmart. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Walmart. Yeah, you sell shotguns. You can buy shotguns there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just seems too easy and accessible. You know, I think if we sell, if we're selling something that could, that's specifically made, that was invented to kill another person, I think we have to be more careful about how we pass it along.
I mean, also there's like a chemical stuff too, right? I think the thing is like, to kill another person is really, really easy, to be honest.
Yeah.
It's...
Damn, Eddie has no moral conscience. He's like, he won't even... He'll sleep good at night after he kills you. That's what he said.
Of course.
It won't even bother him.
Today, I feel like killing you. I'm doing it.
It won't even bother him. Like, he'll
tomorrow,
just read a book afterwards.
Tomorrow, I don't feel killing another man. So, There you go. You are saved. You're welcome.
Anyways, it's easy for you to kill. Go ahead.
I think it's very easy to kill a person. So, I think how you, like... You know, human life is actually very vulnerable. You think about it. It's strong.
Yeah, very fragile. Fragile. Animals, I guess, right?
You can just like slit the throat.
And you hit your head hard enough. Your heart works too hard. There's a lot of things that can kill us. It is very fragile.
Yeah.
But yeah. It'd be hard for me at least to deliberately do it, right? Like to plan it and do it on purpose. Yeah,
I actually thought about it. Some people when I was younger. I actually thought about killing people. I actually did.
What?
And then because I'm too lazy to deal with all these like afterwards things, so I don't do it.
Oh, I thought you said you actually did. I was like, whoa.
No.
You're dark, Eddie.
He's just thinking, once you kill someone, oh my God, there's so many things you need to do afterwards to get clean, right? So it's not like you can put this person in a dishwasher and boom, it's done. It's like...
Yeah. There's a lot of evidence you gotta hide.
Yeah.
It just seems like a lot of extra work.
Yeah.
Afterwards,
like,
you're right.
So many work you have to do afterwards. And also, like, you need to really, really, really shut down how guilt that feels.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think... Physically, there's a lot of work to do. Mentally, there's a lot of work to do as well. So,
yeah.
I'm just saying, don't kill people.
That's why, like, and you know, like, it's so crazy, too, how we even have, like, wars. Like, isn't the idea of a war crazy? Like, millions of people dying for oil?
For oil. Like, I can just have it on my forehead. There you go. That's a lot of oil right here. My forehead. Go ahead, take it. Free.
You know, and it's so crazy too. It's like, because you know how many people died in world... You guess how many people died in World War II?
100 million.
Jesus Christ. 70 million people.
Oh, then I was close.
That's 30, a lot of people.
30 million extra.
Yeah. Could you just imagine 70 million people just dying?
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, like, it's crazy to me how we could even have those things. You know, how somebody could order people to, we need them to sacrifice their life for this mission. Like, what? Did you talk to them about it? Like, you know what I mean?
I mean, I was in military service. So, like, when you were in the military, your brain is different, literally.
Yeah,
your brain is really different. Like, you know, they can make you do things, and then, like, follow the orders. It's crazy. It's really, really intense. Yeah.
But, damn, like, I don't know if I can handle war, being in a war.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, like, when I was in military service, I remember there was one person. He was really, really, he intentionally to being stupid, so that way he doesn't have to do anything. For example, he would pack a bag of wires, like white plastic wires in a bag.
Okay.
And put it in the fridge, and then say, oh, I thought it's noodles.
But he did it on purpose.
But he did it on purpose. And then his answer, when the higher rank people ask him, like, what the fuck is this? And then he's like, I thought it's noodles. And he actually say it. I was there. And I was witness the whole thing. I was like, did he really think that's noodles? Like, really?
How bad was it? Was it pretty bad?
It's a big bag. It's like a two.
No, the noodles. The wires. Were they like black, orange wires, or were they like
white? It's white wires in a like plastic bag. Just imagine.
But there was no mistaking it for noodles. There was 100%. You could not mistake these for noodles.
There's no way you will miss because the plastic bag is transparent. Yeah. Okay, so you can see through it, and even though it's all tangled together. How do you, where is this coming from? Like, I can't even, like.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
Did he get away with it?
He got punished. Yes, he got punished. And his punishment is like, never ever step in the kitchen ever again. That's his punishment.
That's actually genius.
And then he's like, yeah, then I don't have to cook anymore because his assignment is cooking for everybody. And then he's just shamelessly.
He just didn't like cooking.
Yeah, and he just shamelessly to say, yeah, I thought that's noodles. What are you going to do about
him? That's actually pretty genius. That's pretty genius, man.
Yeah. And then they just like, oh, like, you know, they cannot just say like, oh, yeah, you're the motherfucker. 20 push-ups right now. And then he finished the 20 push-ups. And then what?
I would have said, hey, I would have been like, yo, this is actually really smart. So I'm going to put you where the computers are. Like, don't fuck up because we're all dying.
No, and then like he will do things like another one he did was crazy. Also, but it's less crazy than the noodle things. I cannot think about anyone who, because when I was there, I witnessed the whole thing. And I was like, this guy told me he made bobas in his hometown. But he mistaken a bag of wire as noodles that I can't even I
that's a hilarious story. That's so funny.
You know
what's so crazy? Last night I went to the food carts after the show, and then they had this food cart, like it was flashing. Lights were flashing. I was like, oh, what is that? I think it's a bubble tea because I kind of want a bubble tea right there.
Yeah.
And so I started running to it. And it was a Middle Eastern cart that sold euros and bubble tea.
Ooh, that's weird.
Yeah.
That's a weird combination. Like, so many carbs.
Yeah. And I looked at him. I was kind of like, are you sure, man? Are you sure? Like,
did you buy any?
No, I went to get tacos. I had Al Pastor tacos.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they were okay. They kind of tasted like they were from the microwave. But when I wasn't drunk. I had two drinks. I was pretty buzzed off of two drinks.
Oh.
Yeah.
You were busted when you have two drinks?
Yeah, because I don't really drink that often.
Because, you know, after a year and a half of, like, cleanliness of your body.
Yeah, I didn't really drink, so. And I have a taste for it anymore. You know what I do when I go to open mics? I get ginger beer.
I'm not going to judge you, but ginger beer? Try root beer.
The bartender's always like, do you want anything in there? I'm like, no, ginger beer. They go, by itself? It's like, yeah.
If I back to Portland, I don't know. I need a couch, by the way. If I ever, you know, I need the couch by the Avengers poster.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty sure we could work something out.
Yeah.
This is a cool room. It just doesn't have any ventilation in here. So if you fart, whew, it's going to be around.
There's a window. Is the window fake?
Oh, I mean, like,
Like AC.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good. I will bring our editor with us.
Yeah, we could do it in the room.
Hey, oh, he will be the real tech guy in the house. So, hope you get, I don't know, this episode is just simple. It's just some journey about comedy and some...
And Eddie killing people.
And me killing people. So,
yeah.
Hope you don't do it.
Also, a guy, your friend in the military, mistaking wires for noodles. Genius move. But yeah.
So, thank you guys.
Man, shout out to your stupid smart military friend. Shout out to the listeners out there. Keep on listening.
He was not even skinny. He was fat ass, by the way. So like,
his fat, smart, dumb friend.
Jesus.
Military friend. Shout out to him. Shout out to y'all for listening. I think this is it, right?
I hope you get your edible tonight. So, come back to listen another episode or click on the previous episode you haven't given a listen. So, otherwise, as always, stay happy and stay sunny.